Shall we pray a moment here? Lord, you have blessed us for 5 or 6 straight Sundays. Well, that's just a very small, with perfect weather. Lord, you are in charge of the weather every day. We know that many people were out of power, I think it was just yesterday, because of the storms. Not just in one local region of this world. Lord, I pray for the electricians out there, all the guys in high wire power men who are out there trying to restore electricity. Please keep them safe. We pray today for Todd Daniel, his family, as he went to be with the Lord. These are close friends of the Chapmans, and he was in a motorcycle accident and passed away, leaving a wife and 2 young children. We pray for the Daniel family. Lord, this is devastating for them. We thank you, Lord, that he had a personal relationship with you. We ask God to comfort that family. And thank you that they have friends like the Chapmans who can come alongside and be with them and to listen to them and to share the burden. That's what you, as a church family, are called us to do. To share the burdens. This life can be difficult. A lot of challenges. A lot of unexpected twists and turns. Maybe we go to the doctor and get a bad report and we're facing surgery. Maybe we have a surgery coming up. Knee surgery or back surgery, whatever. Lord, I thank you for the doctors and the nurses that continue to be on the front lines of the pandemic. Seems to be like there's a spike going on and people have different feelings about wear a mask, don't wear a mask, stay indoors, don't meet, whatever. Lord, give us the grace and the understanding to help one another through this challenging time. Pray for Bob Heckert. I know he wishes he could be here right now and he's having his physical challenges. And of course, we know, Lord, that when we're physically not up to snuff where we want to be, that can weigh on us mentally and spiritually as well. So we pray for Bob. Help him, Lord, as he faces those challenges. Thank you for Beth, who can always ready to serve and to help. Lord, we pray for the young people as they, this fall might look a lot different with school. Maybe they'll be online school, maybe they'll go to school certain days and not others. I don't know what they're going to do. But all these question marks, all these, that raises people's anxiety and worries and their stress level. And then when that happens, then we don't act on our best behavior then. So please help us in that, have self-control. Pray also for those policemen and women who are working so hard to keep our community safe and have really faced some opposition lately. We don't understand why people think the way they do sometimes, and I guess that's probably because we never walked in their shoes. But again, Lord, You have experienced everything that mankind can ever experience. And yet you remain sinless. You remain perfect. And you did that for us. So we thank you from the bottom of our heart. We ask, O Lord, that you would continue to work through us. Do not forsake us or abandon us. But as we sang this morning, that we could be revived by your Spirit. We know without your Spirit in our lives, we live a life of in vain. But with you, Lord, in our lives, yielding to your Spirit, we have purpose, we have meaning, we have life, we have joy, we have a great hope. And so we're so thankful. And we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, I'm going to preach a sermon that actually I prepared 6 months ago to the date, January 12th. As you recall, we did not meet on January 12th. Because on that day, or the day before, I guess, we got a big ice storm or snowstorm or something, and we just didn't feel like we should risk the safety of people in the church. We said, hey, you better stay home today. And, you know, when those challenges happen, it kind of helped the church kind of move into the 21st century a bit, didn't it? Because now we're live streaming, and that's a good thing. You know, it's kind of go back to the whole persecution of the church. You know, that they all like to stay in their little holy huddle in Jerusalem, and then persecution hit, and they had to go out. They were scattered, but they took the gospel with them. But here's what the verse in 1 Timothy, and I'm thankful that the word of the Lord is applicable in January 12th as it is July 12th. It doesn't change. That's a good thing. The fads will change. The winds of the people change. Circumstances change that swirl around us. But God's word doesn't change. God doesn't change. We're so grateful. But Timothy says, or actually Paul says to Timothy, Paul says, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly. Can you picture that? The grace of God being poured out abundantly on Paul. Not only that, along with faith and love. Grace, faith, and love poured out that are in Christ Jesus. Today I want to talk to you about oil. I want you to talk about grease. Sounds a little crazy, doesn't it? I talk about oil and grease, but you know what? Growing up on the farm, I was always getting into oil and grease. There's always a barrel or two of oil drum, or a can, a 5 gallon container of grease. And that was great stuff. Smearing all over your hands and getting up your arms, and much to the dismay of my mother, I might add, but it was a lot of fun. And it was easily accessible to me on the farm. But no matter how messy it can be, guess what? It plays a critical part in the daily farm operations. You always needed oil. You had certain oil to put in the gasoline tractors. We had gasoline tractors, some old International. My dad he liked red tractors. He didn't like green tractors. I don't know why, but he was a red tractor guy. So we had oil for the gasoline tractors. We had oil that had to go in the hydraulic cylinders. We had transmission fluid. And the old oil, when we had to change oil, we never just, you know, we used that oil too. There was always conveyor belts and conveyor change and corn picker change and barn cleaners and wheels and elevators. All these things they needed all these moving parts on these machines. We had to keep them oiled up. No matter what season it was on the farm, whether it was harvesting, whether it was planting, we needed the oil. The bottom line is we could not afford not to oil the machinery. Because if we didn't, guess what? This evil thing called friction took over. I mean, actually friction's a good thing too, but in this case, friction was bad because parts would heat up, they would break, they'd causing major and costly delays. Guess what? Churches are not unlike farms. A lot of moving parts in a church. This morning was a prime example. We had to pound in more stakes. We had to move this riser. We had to move the chairs out of the way. We had to do all sorts of things. I had to bring out the speakers and the whatever else. And a lot of people who go to church, they come on Sunday morning and they don't realize all the stuff that goes on during the week. Maybe AA meets. Maybe NA meets. Maybe there's a clothes donation. Maybe there's a food donation. By the way, Daryl's organization just dropped off a check to the church, $675 for a food pantry.
Praise the Lord. The literary club, they meet. We even had an exercise group in here. Not too long ago, we had people working on the lights and the electricity and taking down and, get this, we were taking down and packing Christmas decorations. Wow. About time we'll start putting them up again here pretty soon. And I haven't even said anything about, the Christian ministries that go on. These are just the things that support Christian ministries. You have women's and men's Bible studies. SALT. I don't know if you heard of SALT. That's, help we do a tutoring program for kids after school. They come to church. We play games with them, give them a nourishing meal. We do that sort of thing for them. That's a good thing. Even the musicians. You wouldn't tell it by listening to us up here, but the musicians sometimes get together once a week and practice. Our practice has been kind of sparse lately because of, the whole not meeting together sort of thing. We got Debbie, the secretary, in the office, paying the bills, answering the phones, printing the bulletin. Believe it or not, there's even times where the pastor's in the office preparing a message. He does that. You would think a church this size really wouldn't have much to do. Really, come on. 50 people show up on a Sunday, maybe if we're lucky. Yeah, that can't be that much to do with church. Oh, did I mention there's sometimes, we even had a prayer meeting once at the church. Here's the central theme of my message this morning. Check your oil. Make sure your spiritual oil is running efficiently and effectively. I think you know where I'm going with this. I'm talking about our spiritual lives. I gotta say, I bet some people say, well, this COVID thing, that's kinda, I'm kinda off the hook for a while for my church duties. No church nursery, no Sunday school. I'm gonna kinda kick back and do that sort of thing. It's like take a vacation. There's probably some pastors. And I gotta admit, I probably went in through my mind and said, this is an easy street now. Here's the thing. Here's the oil. It's the Holy Spirit. I'm gonna tell you right now. I don't got some sort of hidden agenda here. The oil is the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's gonna lubricate us. To keep us working together and sweet fellowship together. If we don't have God's Holy Spirit, if we're operating under our own power and not God's Spirit, guess what? We're doomed to frustration. We're going to have hardship. We're going to have failure. We're going to have conflict. Not to say that all conflict is bad, but I'm just saying when the conflict comes, we need to have the Holy Spirit to guide us in how are we gonna react to one another. Now, I wouldn't call myself mechanically inclined. Okay, I admit one time way back in the 80s, I helped change a water pump on my car, but I was desperate. I need transportation. So I did that. And yes, I can change the occasional tire. I might be a real pain. I'll probably complain a lot about it, but I'll do that. And if I look under the hood of a car, guess what? I'm gonna be very intimidated by what I see there. But I'll tell you one thing right now. I know where the dipstick is. I know where the dipstick is. I can check the oil. Anytime Courtney comes home from college, when she's coming home from college, or anytime she's on the road, or she's planning on making a big trip somewhere, first thing I say to her, go check the oil. Go, what's the oil like in the car? And I don't even believe her when she checks it. I'll go check it myself. Oh yeah, is it in the hash marks or not? I remember one time we stopped for vacation and I said, well, we gotta check the oil. It didn't even show up on the dipstick. I'm going, no, I must have put two or three of those little containers in. Scary time. But here's the thing. You could go out in the car and run out of gas and that's not a big problem. You just put your thumb out and go to the next gas station and get some gas. You put the gas in the car and away you go again. You run out of the oil, you're in a whole lot worse trouble, aren't you? Okay, that's just gonna cause that motor to seize up. And it's never gonna run again. Anybody happen to anybody like that? Does that happen to anybody? It hasn't happened to me, but I've heard of people, it happens. Permanent damage will occur. You know, you hear about people in Christian faith that are like that sometimes. They go full bore. But they do it not under God's Spirit. They do it on their own, and they burn out. And they're damaged. And guess what? They don't go to church again. I'm not going back to church. I put in my time. See, the problem is they ran out of oil. Maybe they didn't have any oil in there to begin with. They didn't have God's Spirit. Let's keep an eye on the oil in our car and in our lives. We need to do this, and this is where I was, like I said, this was for January. Well, now we're looking at, we're halfway through 2020. This was my New Year's sermon that I'm now giving halfway through the year. Everything is delayed, okay? We have goals set. We have priorities. We want things achieved. By the way, we had a great trustees meeting the other night. I was so excited about that. We were talking about real tangible things we were going to do in the church. Like, how about remodel the kitchen? Wouldn't that be awesome? Get it up into the 21st century. So, hey, there we go. So we're putting that into place. We got Lafayette's, where's Lafayette? Lafayette's back there. He's volunteered to use his labor and his expertise as a cabinet maker to put new cabinets in there. Woo! That excites me like you wouldn't believe. And there's other things too. We had 3 different lifts out here. I won't get into details here, but we're assessing the situation with the steeple and how we're going to get that fixed. I could go on, but I was really excited. Oh, we had Tom Feeblecorn's company come in and do that spraying of our church so we could keep people safe during the COVID. The company's doing that free of charge. Wow. If we're operating on optimum levels, if we have we're checking the fluids and we're all good to go, we can be confident we can meet the goals that we put in place. You know, I brought this topic up back in January because we were having a big meeting that day. There was a meeting coming up on the next day. The church council, the trustees, the deacons, we're all going to meet that day. We're all going to, converge on one night and meet together and look at our goals, look at our agenda, what are our expectations. Hopefully get everybody on those groups working together, pulling together. Now, some of those groups haven't met too much because, again, we're in this interesting time, but that's going to ramp up again. Before we know it, fall is going to be here, and these meetings are going to take place. And I know, I know a little bit of the history of this church. And I know sometimes the meetings that have gone on in the church have not been pretty. They've been pretty ugly meetings. But my point, I want to say this, is that it's not what happens in the meeting that makes them ugly. It sometimes is what we bring to the meeting that makes them that way. If you have a chip on your shoulder, if you're trying to stake out territory of your own personal agenda, if you're only running on 3 cylinders because you're not in the Word of God, then guess what? That meeting's not going to be a happy one. If you have an axe to grind, you have a point to prove, you have a score to settle, you have an unforgiving heart, then guess what? If you bring that to the meeting, that meeting is going to be ugly. So as your pastor, I am exhorting all of us. And it's just not about meetings. It's really about any human interaction we have. What we bring to it will determine the success of that relationship. And so Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "The grace of God was poured out on me abundantly along with love and with faith that are in Christ Jesus." Think about that. The 3 gifts that can help us be good church leaders. More important, help us be better people. We need to be better people. I know you guys are wonderful and everything like that, but even I look at myself in my mirror and I go, I gotta be better. I gotta be more positive. I gotta be less grumpy. That's just you and my family. I need to be more flexible and gracious and understanding and tolerant of my fellow human beings. Because I don't know what they walk through. I don't know what the situation's going. Maybe they had a bad day at work. Maybe they just broke up with their girlfriend or boyfriend. Maybe, I don't know what. I can't, unless I know what's going on in a person's life, and I don't know what they're bringing to the relationship. But I gotta be ready and be flexible and gracious and tolerant of that. If Jesus, who was on the cross, said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do," when he was in the midst of being tortured, he could say that with a forgiving heart. Can we, when we're falsely accused, when we're in an awkward situation, can we show a little grace? So many times, Paul opens his letters. I don't know if you're familiar, if you read any of the letters in the New Testament. A lot of times he starts out this, "Grace and peace to you." That's why he starts his letters. I mean, you might say, well, that's just a traditional opening statement. Yes, maybe it is. But maybe what he's trying to get across is to these new churches, because he's writing to new churches, he's saying that peace and harmony among God's people, it will always be evasive. It will always be elusive if we do not operate under God's grace. Grace and peace and harmony, they are linked together. They cannot be separated. You can't have one without another. Without God's grace, we're going to have a very difficult time having peace. So number one, check your grace tank. Before you arrive at a meeting, if you have a scheduled, hey, you can have a lunch date with somebody. You know, Lord, say a prayer. God, fill me with grace, understanding. If you don't, Proverbs chapter 3, 34. He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. Can you go into a meeting with humility? Can you go into that? You know, you look at a car, there's different fluids in the car, right? There's, again, cool, antifreeze, or coolant. You got the oil. You got the windshield wiper fluid. You have transmission fluid. Brake fluid. See, all these different fluids. You gotta check these on occasion. Courtney's car right now is sitting over at Howard's. It's got a transmission fluid leak. What about faith? The second gift God poured out abundantly on Paul was faith. Hebrews 11:6. It is impossible to please God without faith. God wants us to have a deep and personal relationship with Him, but we cannot have that in the absence of faith. But here's the beautiful thing about this. He rectifies the problem by giving us faith. We don't have to muster faith ourselves. We can't generate it out of some, you know, reading some self-help book. No. You get faith by opening your hands and asking God to give it to you. And the wonderful thing about faith is that when we have faith, we don't have to operate in fear anymore. We don't have to fear the rejection of God, for sure. God is not going to look down upon us in scorn or rejection or judgment because we have faith in His Son Jesus. And that brings me to another point, and that is, it's not, yes, we need to have faith, but more importantly than faith is the object of the faith. People can, it's very trite. You got to have faith. If you have faith, you can do anything. Well, faith in what? God never says you need this much faith, but He does say this, you need to have faith in my Son. That is so important. We need to understand who God's Son is. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 2, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's the object of our faith. God's Son. Listen also to the verse in Hebrews. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. What is that faith? The faith is that Jesus was perfect Son of God and He gave Himself for us to take away our sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. The gift of faith that God gives us allows us to receive God's grace to operate in faith, not in fear.
I confess that a lot of my life I've operated in fear. It's like I got out of college, so I didn't have a job. Well, before that, I remember one time in my life, I was fearful of the fact that if I became an adult, I'd have to check the oil in my car. I'm not sure I could do that. It's like, well, I can't do that. I, you know. My dad used to call me a chicken liver because I was like, you're afraid of everything. And I admitted it, I was, you know. I thought, oh, the responsibility. I don't want to grow up and be an adult. Too much responsibility.
I don't want people to have fear. I want us to have faith. And God wants us to have faith. He wants us to have faith that gives us courage to ask Him for the good and timely things. Do you have faith to ask God and pray to Him? He wants us to have a faith that causes us to be patient, at the same time perseverant.
Patient, you know, because God's not, just because you ask Him once doesn't mean all of a sudden He's going to give that to you. Perseverance in prayer.
God wants us to have faith to know that God is working through each of us. That's important. To trust. Say, God, I know you're working through Beth and Sydney and Eric and Kurt and Diane and whoever's sitting out here. God infuses each of us with faith. He makes us His child and He says to His family, His believers, that together we'll accomplish great things because each of us brings something different to the table. And that's what's going to grow the church and make us, not just grow it numerically, that'd be good, but spiritually and together in harmony. Grow it that way.
Finally, let us not forget the love tank, okay? So you got the faith tank, you got the grace tank, you got the love tank.
Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, love is the greatest above all God's gift. John's brother equates God with love itself. In 1 John 4:8, the Apostle Peter writes, love one another deeply. Love covers over a multitude of sins.
Is this church ever going to be perfect? Not in this lifetime. Not on earth. The church of God will be perfect someday in heaven, in the presence of God. But until that time, we're going to need love. Lots of love to cover our imperfections, to cover our warts. People, it's kind of that throw the baby out with the bathwater scenario. People seem to want to do that with America right now. We're not perfect. We have a blemished history. So let's tear down everything and start again. I don't think that's the answer though. We got to accept our faults. We got to confess those. We also got to see the foundation, how we started in the providence of God in the history of America and realize that God, even in our faults and our flaws, at the deep core of it all is a goodness there because God is there. And that's what we need to hold on to. So if people want to say, oh, let's rip it all down and start again, that's ridiculous. There's too much good that has come for the past 400 years.
And that's definitely, and the church is even older than that. How will you fill your love tank? I think the verse that we started with partly answers the question. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly. If we are to receive any of God's grace, or excuse me, God's gifts that He desires to pour out on us, we must look up to Him with clear eyes, sincere hearts, empty hands. We must not be distracted by the things of the world. We must pull our gaze away long enough to look at God above. Other times when we do look up to God, sometimes we look up to God only to shake our fist at Him, not to humbly receive His gifts. There are times when our heart is so cluttered with other worldly things, there's no room for God's Spirit in our hearts. No, if we are to receive the good gifts that God wants to pour out on us, the gifts of grace, the gifts of faith, the gift of love, these gifts are like the oil to the machine. They bring peace. They bring harmony. They bring this to our world. They bring it to our church. But we must look to God in thankfulness, in humility, in expectation, and receptivity. In short, we must look to God almost in a sense of desperation. Because when you think about it, God is the source of our life, our complete life. So the next time you go out and get ready for that trip, I know I'm going to get ready this Wednesday. We're heading out. It's my mom's 80th birthday going to Oklahoma. I'm going to check the coolant. Actually, I took my van to Howard's already, so. Check the coolant. Check the oil. Check the transmission fluid. I'm going to make sure those are all good for the journey. We're in a journey together. This church is in a journey together. This church is it's going to be 150 years, well, over that. But that, the main church building is 150 in 3 years. 2023. The main church building. Now the church is founded even before that. We are on a certain part of this journey with this church. Our church. Congratulations, people. You just got through the first half of 2020. It is July 12th. Like I said, that sermon I just delivered was from January 12th, or was going to be on that 2020. We still got a whole half a year left. Let us make it a well-oiled, prosperous journey together.